The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of his nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand out and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come on up for a little time together. All right. Wonderful day, isn't it? I'm a little different today, aren't I? Well, I'm in a costume, and you're going to meet that person in just a minute. But I've got a few questions for you first. All right. Come on up. All right. So, if I was to say to you right now, guys, here's one. This would be right up your alley. If I was to say to you, "Captain America is going to come through that door in 1, 2, 3, would you believe it?
No.
Why?
Because Captain America's not real.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Well, you know, there's a really fancy word we have for God sometimes. It's called omnipresent. Omnipresent. Can you say it with me? Omnipresent. It means that he's everywhere. All right? Now, have any of you seen God before? No. Well, today we're going to be talking about how a man who didn't see Jesus, when the others didn't believe. All right, guys. I got a question for you in particular. Okay? Do you believe that Jesus is with us right now?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Why?
Because he's always with us.
He's always with us. What about his love? Is it with us even when we're acting up or not doing things right? Is it with us right here, right now? Hey, guys, settle down. All right? Right? Because I've got a surprise for you. What if I told you it's been here the entire time? His love has been here the entire time. Well, first of all, that would be easy because we've got people out there. You got moms and dads. You got brothers, right? Sisters, family, all of that, okay? Well, but here's the thing. We can't see it, can we? But it has been here, and you didn't know it. It's been over here the whole time. His love has been here the entire time. We can see that heart, right?
We haven't seen it.
We can see it, but the thing is, God's love is seen not only just in love, but it's seen by the love of the people out there, your family, and everybody else. And even though we may doubt it's there sometimes, it's always there. So let's pray. Guys, can you pray with me, please? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for always being there for us, even when we can't see you. We know that you love us, and you also send other people who love us as well. Help us to love you and love them back. Amen. You may go back out, and I want you to listen about this character that you're about to meet, too. So yes, if you haven't guessed, I was one of the disciples. My name is Thomas. But it's not my only name. Matter of fact, in Greek they called me Didymus, which means the twin. Now, I don't know why they called me that. Perhaps it's because of what my second name is, and perhaps because of the fact that I had two types of my faith. I had the very bold faith that I had, but I also had that faith that wasn't maybe strong sometimes. Now, I was the one that said to Jesus when we were going in to see Lazarus, who had supposedly been ill, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm the one that said, let's go to die with him. But I also have another name, and that's the one that stuck. And that's the one that kind of got kind of negative and kind of really was one I'd rather not stick, and that's Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, because of the fact that I wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. I was out running some errands. And because I wasn't there, I doubted. It's kind of like social media these days. You look at something and you go, oh, that's real. Well, but is it really? Because you have to understand what was going on. We had never been in this situation before. We'd seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was alive then. He was there doing it himself, alive. And he had other people roll the stone away. In this case, we had seen this lifeless body of this Savior on the cross, lifted gently down, and a lifeless body placed in the tomb. How could he, being dead, do what he did with Lazarus? And the tomb was sealed. And yet, they blamed us for stealing the body. So of course we locked the doors. Of course, when I was out running errands, I didn't go the short way through the main streets. We were scared that they would come after us. So I wasn't there. And so I doubted. And that name stuck. Doubting Thomas. But really, when you think about it, was I really the first doubter? Let's go back a ways. What about at creation? Didn't Adam and Eve doubt God about the tree in the garden? What about Moses when he was at the burning bush and got his call? I'm not eloquent enough. Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt? Abraham and Sarah, when the stranger came, said, you're going to have a child. Not only did they doubt, Sarah laughed. Jonah. People in Nineveh don't deserve to be saved. How many times did he doubt God? What about the people in Egypt? They came out of Egypt. The Israelites are out in the desert. How long did it take before they wanted to turn back? We had more stuff in Egypt, even started to build idols. Young prophet Jeremiah, one of the greatest prophets. I'm too young to go. I'm too young to do this. You need somebody else. Then what about the New Testament? We have two people, a Roman centurion and a woman who had a bleeding issue, who wanted Jesus' help, but one of them said, you can't come into my house. I don't want you to come into the house. I'm not worthy of you coming into my house. Plus, it's against the Roman law. Just say the word. And then a woman who needs help, who wants help so bad, instead of going to Jesus and asking for his help, crawls through the crowd to touch the cloak because she didn't feel adequate enough. What about Joseph? My betrothed is having a baby, and she says that she's not been with another man, and I haven't been with her. How can this be? I wasn't the only disciple either. What about Peter? Not just once, but twice. And I'm not talking about three times at one time when he denied Jesus. I'm talking about the other time when he was out on the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water and he says, "Lord, let me come to you." And he takes a few steps and then what happens? He starts to sink because he doubted. So how did I get stuck with doubting Thomas? Because we all doubt, don't we? Haven't we all had some kind of doubt? And some kind of doubt maybe about our faith sometime in the course of our life, maybe as youngsters or oldsters. But the wonderful thing is, if we think about these things, there are reasons that we doubt. And they're obvious in these that we just talked about. One is that I'm not good enough. Moses, I'm not eloquent. How can I lead? Jeremiah, I'm young. I don't know how. Another doubt is just fear and fear of failure. That's what Peter's was when he denied Christ. Fear of being arrested and tried with him. Fear of failure for those other two prophets I just mentioned. Fear of life. Also, agreeing or not agreeing with God. That's Jonah. These people in Nineveh, they've been sinful. They don't deserve to be saved. I'm not going. Or perhaps that could feed over into the final one. Maybe not the right time. Mary and Martha questioned Jesus when he arrived, saying, "Lord, if you were just here, it wouldn't happen. Their timing's off." Abraham and Sarah, "Why didn't you give us this child when we were younger?" So many reasons for doubts. But here's the interesting thing I want you to remember about doubt. In order to doubt, you must have some form of belief. If you doubt something, you must at least have a little bit of a feeling that you believe it to start with. The second thing about doubt is it could go one of two ways. It can cause you to withdraw. Perhaps you don't feel adequate because I'm doubting maybe I shouldn't be in church, you know. Maybe I'm doubting maybe I shouldn't be looking. You know, those type of things. Sometimes the result is to step back. To step away. The other result is to go forward and step forward. But I want you to remember this. Every one of these people that I mentioned in the Bible, and myself, there's one thing that happened in every one of these stories, and that is this: God never turned his back. Even though he's mad in the Garden of Eden, he didn't say, "I'm going to erase him. We're going to make two new people." He didn't say to Abraham and Sarah, "Well, if you don't believe me, I'm going to go give that child to somebody else." He didn't say to Moses, "No, okay, well, you don't think you're going to go? Well, I'll go choose somebody else." Jeremiah, "Yep, don't worry about being too young. I'll take care of you." In every one of these situations, he showed patience. He showed mercy, he showed grace, and he showed that even to me because he came back so that I could see and could believe in what I had said I wanted to see. That's the thing about his grace. It's marvelous, and it reaches out to us even when we doubt. He wants us to search for him. He wants us to find new ways because that's the wonderful thing about doubt. Like I said, it could go two ways. You can pull back or you can move forward. You can allow it to empower your faith. You could come here more often even. You come to worship to hear how the other stories could perhaps lift your doubts from the members here. We come here to lift up our voices in song, listen to the words in the song, listen to, most importantly, his holy word, where he has some of the answers for our doubts. That's the grace and mercy he shows us. He gives us a wonderful table where we can see the Lord and bring our forgiveness and our doubts to him. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God that will do that? But it's not easy. I had the luck of being able to see the Lord in person. These days, that's not the case. He's up with his Father in heaven. So faith is not easy. Matter of fact, I heard a song the other day, which I think puts faith in very, very good terms. And it goes like this. To hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. To hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand that I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. In the Bible, we have the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, God, runs to the son who had doubts but has now been found. That is the type of God we have, and that's the type of God who wants us to seek him out through our doubts, who wants us to move forward through our doubts, so that together we can stand with me and say, my Lord and my God. Amen.